starting at verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21. We ready? It says, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So, after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts. May we learn valuable lessons from your word. May it transform us from the inside out. Help us not to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Judas, the betrayer from within, walked with Jesus 3 years. See him do miracles. Went on mission trips for Jesus. Seeing Jesus walk on water, seeing him do great things. I would say that Jesus is a complicated character. When you say complicated. And when I look at Judas Iscariot, the key to me was his attitude toward Jesus Christ. His attitude toward Jesus Christ. That's the key thing, his attitude. His attitude was one of, he was an opportunist, very opportunistic. He saw Jesus and he heard Jesus talking about a kingdom and a mission, that he's the Messiah. And Judas said, that sounds good to me. I think I'll volunteer, I will sign up for that mission. And so he was part of the inner circle. So he was an opportunist. His heart was one of greed. Judas carried the money bag. He was the one who kept the money. And yet it says also that he was the one who would take money out of the bag and use it for himself. So he was in it for the wrong reason, for greed, opportunist. Also, he never believed in who Jesus was. He hung around Jesus for a while, but something happened. The more Jesus kept saying that my kingdom is not of this world, the more he kept saying that the greatest should be the servant, And the more he kept saying the fact that I didn't come to deliver you from Roman oppression. And some theologians said that the more Jesus kept talking about servanthood, and he said, what took the cake is here now Jesus saying, you see, Jesus washing their feet and saying, I want you to do what I'm doing. Jesus said, wait a minute, I didn't sign up to wash feet. I signed up for a revolution. I signed up to be a part of something great. I signed up to take over the world. I signed up to be somebody important. I didn't spend 3 years with you, Jesus, to wash feet. I want to be someone important. And when he seen that Jesus' mission was totally contrary to what he wanted to do or his ambition, he made a calculated decision to say, enough of this. Enough of this. And he went to the priest and said, what will you give me for him? Now, he didn't come with them with a price. He told them, name your price. What will you give me? He didn't come with a price in mind. He said, what are you going to give me for Jesus? What type of betrayer is that? That's malice. That's hate. That's greed. And that's who Judas was. But he hung around Jesus. And if you would have saw Judas, you would have thought he was a follower from the heart. So we're going to talk a little bit about some truths about betrayal. Some truths about betrayal. And from that, we're going to see also what Judas did in his betrayal of Jesus. Number one, betrayal, it is painful. Betrayal is painful. I want you to look again at verse 21. Betrayal is painful. It says that after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified. Now, that word trouble means that Jesus was in agony, in sadness and horror, because he says, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. That brought Jesus pain and agony to know that one of his closest friends was going, one of his disciples was going to betray him. It was painful. Now, even though Jesus was 100% God, he was still 100% man, and he felt the pain, even though he knew what Jesus was going to do, it still hurt. Because he was human. It hurt to know that here's someone who has walked with me for 3 years, and he is going to betray me for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayal is painful. Very painful. And the reason why it's painful is my second point. Betrayal is personal. It's personal. Because he says, one of you. He's talking to the 12. One of you, one of my closest friends, one of you are going to betray me. It's personal. Now, the reason why betrayal is so personal is because you don't expect it from your closest friends. You expect it from an enemy. A person, your enemy, you're not surprised when they betray you. But someone who's close to you and they betray you is painful because it's personal. And for Judas, this betrayal was personal. He knew who Jesus, he knew, he heard Jesus teach, he knew everything about him, and he still chose to say, I want none of that. That's personal. One of you will betray me. It says, amazing, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Didn't know who it was. The disciples did not know who he was talking about. That's how much Judas fit in. He was a hypocrite. A hypocrite is nothing else but an actor. An actor that acts a part out and wants you to believe something about them. A hypocrite is an actor. And Judas would have won the Academy Award for this performance. Because he was the betrayer. And not only that, betrayal is perverse. Listen, now, where do you get that from? It's perverse. Because it says this, Look at verse 26. Jesus answered, It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. Now, John wants to know who it is, so he whispers to Jesus, hey, who are you talking about? Now, Jesus tells John, it's the person I'm going to give this bread to. Now, I want you to know that means that Judas was sitting in a place of honor with Jesus. Because what Jesus was about to do by dipping that bread and giving it to the first person, that was a sign of honor. So Judas, you got John on one side, and you got Judas on the other. At arm's length of Jesus, sitting in his place of honor. He has the money bag, and he's sitting in a place of honor. And Jesus now tells John, the person I take this bread and dip it into this and give it to him, that's the one. So he dips it and gives it to Judas. Judas eats it. And look what it says in verse 27. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. That's perverse. It said the devil entered into. In other words, the devil possessed Judas' body. Entered into him. And Jesus said, what you're going to do, do quickly. Judas was a pawn of Satan. Perverse. Jesus had washed Judas' feet. And now Judas is being used by Satan. It's always perverse. Sin is perverse. Betrayal is perverse. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we can look and know also that God created Adam and Eve and told them, don't do this. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you do this, you will die. And there was someone who came and gave them counsel. Who was that? Who was there then? Satan. He was there saying, God's lying to you. God's trying to hold something back from you because he knows that when you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be just like God. And God has a God complex. He wants to be the only God. So Satan was there then, using, tricking them to betray God. Betrayal is perverse. It causes hurt. Betrayal comes from within. It comes from sinful. It's sinful. Betrayal is sinful. So we talked about betrayal can be, it's painful, it's personal, it's perverse. But another thing, betrayal, believe it or not, can be purposeful. Has anybody ever been betrayed? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. You've been betrayed before. But, you know, betrayal can be purposeful. Can have a purpose behind it. Even though we don't understand why it's going on, it can have a purpose. You say, well, okay, where do we get that at? Look at verse 31. Jesus tells Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Judas leaves out. No one knows what's going on. And then Jesus begins to talk and says, in verse 31, he says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. It says now. Judas is going to do what he's going to do. He's left out. He's going to betray me. And yet, even in the midst of that, now, right now, God is going to be glorified through that betrayal. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. Here's a person who, here's Jesus saying that my personal friend is betraying me, but he says, look, there's a purpose behind it, and God's going to be glorified through it, even though it's brought me pain, it's personal, it's perverse, but yet it's purposeful. There's purpose behind it. And that's why it's so important we say that we believe that God can cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God never wastes our pain. He can have a purpose for it, even in the midst that it brings you hurt, it brings you sadness, God still can use. Think about that. If you don't believe me, you can read the story, the life of Joseph. Genesis 50. Joseph's own brothers sold him into slavery. They hated him because he was a favorite of his father. Jacob dies. Joseph now has risen to the rank of second in command in Egypt. Jacob is dead. Now his brother said, wait a minute. Now that father is gone, Joseph is going to get even, and he's going to slaughter us. He's going to kill us all because he hadn't forgot what we did. He didn't want to kill us while dad was alive. Now dad is dead. We're in trouble. So they go to Joseph, and they say to him, and they bow down and say, listen, our father is dead. Before he died, he told us to tell you to have mercy upon us. Don't kill us. And it says Joseph began to weep. He began to weep after hearing what his brother said. And he has a powerful story with what he says to them. It says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 19. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph understood the bigger picture. He said, yeah, you betrayed me. It was evil. But God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good so I can save lives. Betrayal can have a purpose. And all things we should do is to glorify God. Judas betraying Jesus was purposeful. The Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Another thing about betrayal, every person under the sound of my voice is capable of betrayal. Yes, you, yes, me. You are capable of betrayal. You say, that not me. You don't know me, preacher. Not me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. That won't happen to me. Maybe you, but not me. Isn't that what Peter said? Look at verses 33, 38. Peter said, Lord, if all deny you, I will follow you. I will give my life for you. And Jesus said to him, Peter, the rooster will not even crow until you have denied me not once, not twice, but three times. You will deny me three times. I mean, this has to be painful for Jesus. Here he has his disciples. One has already left, is going to betray him, and the other one there is going to deny him, and he knows it. One's already going to betray me, and you're going to deny me. See, Jesus suffered not only physically more than any human being, he suffered mentally more than any human being because he knew all things, and he knew the intent of the heart, and he knew, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to deny me. That's painful to know that. After what he had just done. Loved them. It says in John 13 that he loved them. He loved them to the end. That Jesus loved them to the end. He's going to give his life for them. And yet, Judas betrayed him. And Peter was going to deny him. And the other apostles were going to abandon him. So they all scattered when he was arrested. He was left alone with the mob. They chained him and took him back to face the Sanhedrin alone. They weren't there with him. They fled. You and I are capable of betrayal. We are. If not for the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not you keeping yourself in Jesus' hands. It's Jesus keeping you in his hands. See, it's not you keeping yourself saved. No, it's Jesus keeping you. He is holding you secure in his hands. the truth about betrayal. It's painful, it's personal, perverse, it can't be purposeful, and it can't be, and every person is capable of betrayal when we rely upon our own strength, like Peter. We can wind up denying Jesus. So how do we handle betrayal? How do we handle betrayal? Number one, we must acknowledge it. That's the first thing, acknowledge it. If you've been betrayed, you say, you know what, someone hurt me. Yeah, I felt betrayed, you betrayed me, I'm acknowledging it. Jesus acknowledged it, he said, yep, you're going to betray me. We have to acknowledge it. We can't say, well, I know you hurt me, but it's okay. No, I feel betrayed. It's okay to acknowledge it. Yeah, I've been hurt by you. I feel betrayed. Acknowledge it. Because not to acknowledge it does not mean that it's not, didn't happen. That it's not real. Acknowledge the betrayal. I've been betrayed by a person I thought that would never do it. And it's painful because it's personal. Acknowledge it. That's what Jesus did. Secondly, how to handle it? Handle it prayerfully. Handle betrayal prayerfully. Ask God for strength and healing so that he may get the glory in spite of the evil intent of the one who betrayed you. I want you to know you can only experience healing when you pray and give it to God. When someone betrays you, when it's hurt, the only one person that can heal you is Jesus. Because he understands how you're feeling. He's been there himself. He has been betrayed. We have a high priest who is acquainted with all of our sins and temptations because he himself was tempted in all things yet without sin. Prayerfully, ask God to heal you and to help you. I think about Joseph. How could Joseph still be loving to his brothers when he went through a lot, sold to slavery, then got lied upon, then went to prison? Then when he told the butler and the baker about the dream, said, hey, don't forget about me. The cupbearer, he forgot about him for 2 years. Then finally, he remembered Joseph. And Joseph became second in command. Joseph could have had his brothers slaughtered. And no one would have questioned anything Joseph did. He had that much power. But it said the Lord was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house, in prison, and in Pharaoh's court, it said, and the Lord was with Joseph. I believe Joseph prayed about that. He said, God, I need understanding. Why is all this happening? So we must handle betrayal by acknowledging it. We must handle it prayerfully, saying, God, we need you. And number three, choose to get better, not bitter. Choose to get better, not bitter. Jesus is talking, after he's been betrayed, he's talking about God being glorified in his life. He said, God's going to be glorified in this. I'm not going to let this take me off of my mission and my purpose in life. See, betrayal hurts us, and when we've been betrayed, some people, instead of getting better, they get bitter. They get bitter. How could this happen to me? Why me? I thought you loved me. I didn't deserve this. This hurt me. And what happened, then they start saying, well, God, how can you let this happen to me? See, Joseph could have got bitter, and no one would have blamed him. But he did. He got better. He matured. Because he didn't kill his brothers. He took care of them. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you, not only my family, but for your family. He comforted them. What about you? There's been some betrayal, someone has hurt you. Are you better from it? Are you bitter? Are you still not letting no one into your circle? Say, no, I know that you get close to me again. I've been hurt before, so I'm not going to let no one get close to me. I'm not going to have any friends. No, don't get close to me. You're not coming to my house because I've been hurt before. See, when you've been bitter, you can never have any other, you know, blessed relationships in your life. See it a lot. Friendships. See it in some women. They've been hurt by a man. They never got over it. It's so bitter that when a man wants to talk to him, he can't because he's so bitter. They become a repellent. So you say, I want a man because I can't give you a man because you're so bitter. You're bitter as wormwood. You're beating him up for what he didn't do. Wearing him out. Friendships are never formed when we are bitter people. Jesus didn't get bitter. He got better. He continually said, I love you. He says, I love you. He loved Peter. Even though he knew Peter was going to deny him, he loved him. He loved all of them. So I'm going to give you some keys to getting better. How do you get better? Letter A, choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. That's a choice. You must choose to forgive. Forgive. Now you see, that's tough. It is tough. Forgiveness is tough, but it is necessary for the child of God to forgive. Now, I know that forgiveness is not always instantaneous, but it's a process, but we have to forgive. We have to. If we are children of God, and if we're ever going to experience the blessings and the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers us, we must forgive. Because Jesus said that if we don't forgive others, don't expect God to forgive you. And what he's saying, yes, what someone did to you is horrible and is hurtful, but it is nothing compared to what you've done to a holy God. That's why in that prayer he says, forgive us our debts as we do what? Forgive those. What he's saying, God, I want you to forgive me just like I'm forgiving that person who's hurt me. He said, oh, really? So you telling me that since you didn't forgive that person, you telling me don't forgive you? No. Everybody wants forgiveness, but not everybody wants to give forgiveness. We all want it. We don't want to give it. Joseph forgave, and he was better for it. Letter B, choose to love. Choose to love. See, these are all choices here. We got to choose to love. And if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must love. He gave us a new commandment. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people would know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We're to love the body of Christ. But also says in 1 John 4, talks about that if we say that we don't have love for people, how can we say the love of God is in us? See, a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be people who love. The acid test that determines whether or not I know Jesus Christ, I've been born again, is do I have love? Amen. I don't care whatever gift you tell me, well, I do this, I've healed the sick, I've done this. No, the question is, do you have love? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now by what? Faith, hope, and love, and the grace of these is love. He says, if I have not love, I am nothing. The acid test for a Christian is, do they love? Is there a love for God? Is there a love for God's people? If there's no acid test, you are not saved. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that, but this is what the Word of God says. If you don't have love for God and a love for God's people and a love for other people, you are not a Christian. You are a hypocrite. So how's your love take? How's your love life? Really, how's your love life? No, not too good, Pastor. Had, okay, no, my love life. Do you love people? We should. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. We need to have love for people. So choose to get better. Don't get bitter. How do you get better? Choose to forgive. Choose to love. Jesus chose to love. And also, how to handle betrayal. Number 5, raise your relational IQ. I'm gonna unpack that in a little bit more detail. Raise your relational IQ. In other words, be discerning. When people show you who they are, believe them. It took me a while to learn that, but I've learned it in my life. When people show you who they are, believe them. Don't doubt them. Believe them. We got to raise our relational IQ. And the reason why I say that, because the only person knew that Judas was a betrayer was Jesus, and because he was God. The rest of them didn't know. They had no clue that Judas was the betrayer from within. They didn't know. So you say, well, how do you raise your relational IQ? How do you do that? How do you raise your relational IQ? First of all, listen to what people say. Let me just be, listen to what they say, be discerning. Listen to what people say. People will tell you a lot about them when you talk to them. You just got to listen. Listen to what people say. You say, well, okay, show me a scripture. I want you to look at John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12. Judas gave some key signs to who he was. And in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, it says that here's Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and she takes some expensive ointment, she breaks it, says that a year's wages, and she begins to anoint the feet of Jesus with the oil and to wipe his feet with her hair. Very expensive. And it says in verse 4, look who spoke up and said something. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he was about to betray him. What did he do? He said something. Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He took his off the top. He said something out of his mouth, but what he said revealed his heart. He said, why this waste on Jesus? He's talking about Jesus. He said to her, you are wasting this oil on the feet of Jesus. Now, he's revealing to people as he's talking his value about Jesus and what he said. He's saying Jesus is not worth that. That's what he's saying. If you can read between, that's what he's not worth what you're doing, Mary. That's a waste on him. We can give it to the poor. Now, that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? See, a hypocrite always disguises their heart with spiritual things. They talk spiritual, but inwardly, it's just a disguise. They're not really spiritual. They inwardly, they're the devil, but they use spiritual jargon to throw you off the trail. It could have been given to the poor, because you know Judas loved the poor. Judas loved the money. Jesus loved the poor. But he said that. So to raise your IQ of listen to people talk. Listen. Then Letter B, believe what they do. Listen to what they say, but believe what they do. Believe what they do. Because some people say one thing and do another. But believe what they do. Actions always speak louder than words. But Judas, his words was matching with his heart, and he betrayed Jesus. So in your relationships, raise your IQ. Be discerning. Now, this will help all of us when in any relationship. Some of you, it's going to help you in your relationship about who you're talking about, your spouse. Now, I've counseled a lot of people in marriage, and they always say, you know, this having trouble with her or him or my husband, just not doing right, just won't come home, and he just still drinking and carrying on, and just don't treat me right. And the first thing I say, can I ask you a question? I say, how was he when you met him? I mean, was he doing that when you met him? Yeah. But I thought I could. Oh, but you see, y'all read the same book, huh? Y'all wrote the same book. I thought I could change him or her. I said, no. He or she showed you who they were. You just didn't believe them. You thought you could change them. So the joke's on you. They told you who they were. They showed you, and you still thinking, well, I don't know why he was like that. What even? They showed you. And you did what? Ignored all the warning signs, and now you're in a mess. Because you chose to ignore the warning signs that God may have been trying to show you. That's not for you. He's not for you. She's not for you. Don't you do that. But I just love him. I got to have him. Raise your relational IQ. Be discerning. And we should be that way even in the church. When it comes to dealing with people, putting people in leadership positions, put people in places of leadership, listen to what they say and watch what they do. They will always, always reveal themselves at some time. It's going to come out. You got to raise your IQ. There's a book by a pastor that just came out that I've been enjoying reading. It's called The People Factor by this pastor named Van Moody. It's called The People Factor. And he says this: be careful with giving people too much, too soon, too freely. Be careful with giving people too much, too soon, too freely. Because it would equal disaster. Be careful with that. You give them too much, too soon, too freely. It could be anything. In relationships. But even then, people can disguise themselves. And eventually, they will show themselves. Judas was a betrayer, not from outside the circle. He was inside the circle. And yet he betrayed Jesus. I want to give you a conclusion. In a real sense, God the Creator was betrayed by his creation. He created Adam and Eve, blessed them. Put him in the garden, and they betrayed him. They chose to go their own way in spite of obeying God. But in spite of that, he chose to love them and forgive them. When you read that passage in Genesis chapter 3, the first person to ever shed blood was God, and he shed the blood of an animal. It says that Adam and Eve tried to take fig leaves to cover themselves. But it says God took an animal skin and made coverings, and he clothed them. Where did the skin come from? It came from a live animal. That animal had to be slaughtered. Now, what had the animal done to deserve that death? Did the animal do anything? Nothing. The animal was innocent. And yet the animal was slaughtered to cover up someone else's sin. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus do to deserve the cross? What did he do? Nothing. But he died for you and I. And what did we do? We have sinned against a holy God time and time again, and yet it is God who sent Jesus as a lamb to be slain, to cover up our sins. He chose to love and forgive us. And if God can choose to love and forgive us, how can we stand flat-footed and say, I won't forgive anybody? God extends his forgiveness and love out to sinners like you and me. And what we ask you to do is to receive his forgiveness so that you may live. The sad thing about Judas is he took the money. Satan used him, left him, and Judas was left with silver and his sin. He threw the silver pieces back at the priest, and with grief he went out and took a noose and hung himself and died. Judas. That's what sin does to you. It just leaves you empty. That's what the devil wants to do to people. He wants you to take your own life. Judas hung himself. Peter, when he denied Jesus, said he went out and wept bitterly. He cried like a baby. He was broken by what he had done. What about you? Are you broken over your sin? Are you broken over what God has done for us? Have you given Jesus Christ your life? Have you repented of your sins? You can. You don't have to be like Judas. Go out and hang yourself. Commit suicide. But you can commit spiritual suicide when you reject the gospel. When you continually reject the gospel, reject the message of forgiveness and repentance, you continually reject it, you are committing spiritual suicide. And the end is going to lead to death. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We want you to receive his forgiveness so that you may live. Not only live this life, but live for eternity in heaven with Jesus. Has someone hurt you before? Are you better from it or are you bitter from it? Have you hurt someone? Have you betrayed someone? Have you dealt with that? But all of us are capable of betrayal. That's why all of us need forgiveness. Surrender to Jesus. Recognize you are a sinner. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not born of the flesh, but born by the Father from above. You must be born again. And that only comes from Jesus. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. Will you repent and turn to Jesus and run to the cross? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, which instructs us, which convicts us, which teaches us. So, Father, I just pray that if there's someone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, that today they will surrender to you. that will trust you. If you're here today,